This week, the Library of Congress opened a rare window into the inner workings of the U.S. Supreme Court. At the behest of Justice Harry Blackmun, who retired from the court in 1994 and died in 1999, the library opened his, forgive me, voluminous files to the public. These papers amount to some 500,000 items and 38 hours of oral history. NPR's Legal Affairs correspondent Ina Totenberg is the only broadcast journalist given advance access to all of this material. She's been foraging through the files, and here is the latest in her series of reports.
While Harry Blackmun's name is largely associated in the public mind with the famous Roe v. Wade abortion decision, it is his writing about the death penalty that has fascinated many court observers. For Blackmun started out in 1970 as a firm believer in the constitutionality of capital punishment. And 24 years later, in his last year on the court, he wrote a dissenting opinion saying he no longer thought the death penalty could be constitutionally imposed. He described his legal journey at some length in the oral history that accompanies his papers.
As I went through most of my first 20 years here, I went along with the death penalty and the court's consistent upholding of it on the theory that if this is what the states wanted, I guess they were entitled to have it.
Personally, he had never favored capital punishment, said Blackmun, but he thought that since the Founding Fathers had approved the practice, it was constitutional if fairly applied. But each year he saw more and more cases in which the black and the poor were sentenced to death while other murderers, who in his view were just as bad or worse, escaped. For years, he joined court majorities that sought to make the process equal so that each capital defendant was guaranteed a fair trial and appellate review. But increasingly, he came to think that might not be possible. A critical point was a scholarly study done in 1982 showing that killers of white people in Georgia were four times more likely to receive the death penalty than killers of blacks. Faced with that study, the Supreme Court still upheld the death penalty in Georgia by a 5-4 vote, with Blackmun in dissent. Even after that, Blackmun continued to uphold capital punishment, but his doubts were growing.
They nearly always hit us in the dead of night because executions are usually scheduled between midnight and 3 a.m. or something. And we get these calls to rule on the motions. And so that for me at least, I can't speak for the other justices, but the reality of execution comes into the core of one's living that way.
As each death case came to the court, Blackmun and his clerks would spend enormous amounts of time on them. Stanford law professor Pam Carlin, who clerked for Blackmun in 1986, remembers one case in which the justice spent a day reviewing everything about the case, finally emerging from his office.
He came out and said, you know, I don't think the man did it.
Still, Blackmun was unable to persuade the majority of his colleagues to stop the execution. Making matters yet more difficult was the fact that through the 80s and 90s, the court, with a more conservative majority, was making it increasingly difficult to challenge death sentences. Blackmun perceived his colleagues' behavior as almost over the line.
It was close to aggressiveness. They seemed to be, as I interpreted it, and I could be wrong, of course, as rather bored with these cases and their voluminous numbers of petitions right up until the last minute, and wanted to put an end, or at least to shrink the availability of review of these cases.
In 1993, the court faced a case from Texas in which the defendant had turned up new evidence that he said would prove his innocence. The Supreme Court, however, ruled that in a case where a trial has been upheld as fair, new evidence of actual innocence does not justify a new hearing in the case. An innocent defendant, the court said, can always seek clemency from the governor or the state pardon board. Blackmun in dissent said, quote, "Nothing could be more shocking to the conscience than to execute a person who is actually innocent." Whether this case or any other pushed Blackmun over the edge is unclear. Rather, it seems that his views on the death penalty evolved over the course of his more than two decades on the court. He was willing to sustain the legitimacy of capital punishment as long as he believed that all the actors in the process would seek conscientiously to ensure fairness. He apparently came to the conclusion, though, that the incidence of error by both prosecutors and trial courts was unacceptably high, and that the Supreme Court was not willing to act as a check on such error. He didn't think capital punishment was unconstitutionally cruel and unusual. His objection wasn't to the punishment, but to the inherently unfair way he thought it was applied. For more than 6 months in 1993, he worked on an opinion staking out his view. He wanted to file the opinion in a routine case. Finally, in the fall of 1993, when the court declined to grant review in the case of Bruce Callens, Blackmun filed his opinion declaring, quote, "I will no longer tinker with the machinery of death."
I knew it would be out there alone, and hence I thought it wouldn't satisfy anybody except me. But I wanted to get it off my chest.
Indeed, none of Blackmun's colleagues joined the opinion, but he did get a long handwritten letter from Callens.
His only complaint was that he felt he was a different person now than he was 12 years ago. And it was a nice letter, really, rather a touching letter. I really had expected a lot of excuse talk about this was all a mistake. Not a word of that.
Bruce Edwin Callens was executed in Texas on May 21st, 1997, by lethal injection. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
You can find more selections from Justice Blackmun's oral history and links to other reports from the archive by NPR's Nina Totenberg at npr.org.